chapter 13. This evening I want to look at some aspects regarding the law of God. And as I was doing my studies on these things, I was thinking I was heading one way and the scriptures kept heading me another way, because that's the way we're supposed to study it regarding to God's opinion and point of view. So we're going to be spending some time looking at this portion here first. I'd like to read through this chapter, and then we'll make some discussion regarding some of these things that we are facing even in our day, and how we view law. Chapter 13, verse 1 of Romans. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. This is a key verse. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Companion to verse 8. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time that now is, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. One of the aspects that probably is in conclusion, I guess in this case we're looking at the back of the discussion, so you can maybe think you might want to look at a little bit more. Verse 8, 9, and 10 has to do with love. He that loveth another fulfilleth the law. And verse 10, love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Verse 9, the last part of it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is the key in relationship to all of the rest of the law that is written in the Bible, that last phrase. And one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that we can take all of the law of Moses, and we can take all of the laws that are in civil arrangements, and we will find that the key to proper conduct and proper understanding is that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we can talk about all kinds of codes and laws and things that are in a nation, And whether you say that the Old Testament has too many laws, how can you ever follow them? Or whether you go to the United States and say it has too many laws, how can you follow them? One of the things that we need to do is we need to understand this key verse here that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you will find that things will work very, very well in your behalf. You really don't have to know all of the details of all of the laws, except as you're maybe involved in something specific that would be helpful to you to keep from running into trouble. I'm thinking of going to Galatians here and just briefly looking I'm going down to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. So basically what we're saying here is that you take these two concepts, loving your neighbor as yourself, and you take the concept of being spirit-filled, such as Pastor has been talking about this morning. And you work these two and together, you'll find that there's very little in personal relationships, community relationships, anything that's going on, for there's very little that you're going to face that you shouldn't be able to make a right judgment and a right decision such that will cause people to normally oppose you unless they are actually determined to oppose you. And then they're opposing Christ itself. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so here we have this idea that is general concepts that we're looking at by reading this. I would like to go to the idea of the term law and spend a little bit of time on this. When we're looking at the term law, there are people who have made major works on this, definitions on this, and one of the ones which I enjoy looking at from time to time is Sir William Blackstone, who is a little bit older than the rest of us, and he has written 4 volumes regarding common law, but in the 2nd volume he has an introduction where he discusses what is law itself. And I'd like to read just one small paragraph out of this, because it's about 16 pages in that introduction. It says, law, in its most general and comprehensive sense, signifies a rule of action and is applied indiscriminately to all kinds of action, whether animate or inanimate, rational or irrational. Thus we say the laws of motion, the laws of gravitation, of optics, of mechanics, as well as the laws of nature and of nations, and it is that rule of action which is prescribed by some superior and which the inferior is bound to obey. So it's prescribed by whom? A superior, isn't it? Someone who is greater. And it is to be carried out or obeyed by one who is not superior but inferior. And so we have this is given to us in Romans chapter 13, where let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, verse 1. And so that would be where did he get this idea that laws are prescribed by a superior? I think he could go right there to that verse and prove it out and suggest that this is so. And you go further on down, and it talks about the inferior. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And so we have two kinds of superiors in that second verse that is spoken of. It's implied that there are people who are to be over others, and they have a rightful position to do that. And so what we understand is that if we're going to have a governor of the state of Pennsylvania, he has a right to impose laws upon us. That is one of his responsibilities, to see that laws are enforced and carried out. And so that's the position of the President of the United States. That would be the position of the Prime Minister of England. And if you went back a few years, you would say the Queen or the King of England. And you have various high authorities and powers. One who apparently likes to enforce laws would be a gentleman by the name of Putin over in Russia. He's of the opinion that certain things should be enforced and other things should not. Now, the question that's involved here is not so much as arguing which law or how the laws. Let's think a little bit about the idea of law just a little bit. One of the things that's involved here is that in this definition that Blackstone gave, law is the most general and comprehensive, in the most general and comprehensive sense, signifies a rule of action. Now, when you take the word rule, you could say, well, you could say that Governor Corbett rules in Pennsylvania. That would suggest some kind of an authority, wouldn't it? That would suggest that he's the one who applies this, whatever it is that might be a law in Pennsylvania, applies it to the individual, to the corporations, to the counties, to people who are subject to that rule. The inferior, maybe we would rather use that word. Subject is usually a word used in relationship to a king. Nevertheless, when it has to do with a law, we are subject to obeying the laws, I would think. So he would rule in that sense. But when we're talking about a rule of action, those three words, rule of action, that implies something just a little bit different than someone who is making that happen. So what is a rule of action? Do we have any rules of action in our church? What might be one of those rules? So you said yes, but now we're getting down to the detail here. What is a rule of action that is implied or typical for our congregation? Don't we have a constitution? Don't we say that this or that? Don't we have a covenant? Okay. If someone is to become a part of this church, baptism is a rule of action in which is required of any person who comes to us, that they would be immersed, baptized believer. And if they were not immersed, baptized believer, that this would disqualify them from becoming a member of this congregation. So that would be a rule of action. That's a good one to take. That's, by the way, that rule of action is inviolable. Inviolatable? We can't violate it. This is one of the things that we say is absolutely necessary. Now, what we're saying here is that if they're to be a member of this church, they must be baptized. Now, Where do we get this rule? Okay, we would get it from the Bible. Romans chapter 6 be the place where we would consider as part of this? Let's see here, just... Maybe I'm in the wrong chapter. Maybe it's 7 or 8, I don't know. Okay, anyway. 6 verses 3 and 4. Okay, sometimes I can't see when I'm pushing. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so we've made this a rule. And what is it here that's in this verse 4 that just helps us to understand the concept of a rule? Now, let's change the subject just briefly. We can get back to this in a moment. But We're in a semi-emergency here as far as the church is concerned. And the semi-emergency is that we only turn the water on during the service, and after that we turn the main supply off. And the reason for that is that somewhere between over there and way over there, there's a leak. And we don't have any idea for sure exactly where it is. It could be anywhere that length. We're guessing between the corner of this building and down that way, where the two holes are in the driveway. That's where we're guessing. And Brother Dick Barnhart went over to Worthington Hardware, it was a Friday, I think, a long time ago already. And before he went to Worthington Hardware, he took out a rule and measured the distance between here and over there. And then he went to Worthington Hardware and he says, I want so many feet of pipe. Is that right? And apparently he got some. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did he take a rule out? To measure. You know, one of the things I never did, and there's 3 or 4 of us here that were there at the time, one of the things I never did was I never checked his rule. I'm wondering if there are actually 12 inches to a foot in his rule. And so, let's say that he had one that only had 6 inches to a foot. And he went to the Worthington Hardware and said, I want this number of feet of pipe. He bought it and brought it back, and it only goes half the distance. Because Worthington Hardware has a different rule of measure than maybe he did on his rule. Now, one of the things that makes this world very difficult to live in is if two different people have two different measurement rules. And here's something that we try to standardize in our country, we have in the past. We've tried to standardize a lot of this. One of the things that we've done to standardize this, that in the pit out here in the front, underneath those red boards there near the corner, we open that up, and not only is that the turnoff for the water, but also there's a meter down there. And on that meter are numbers. And when so much water flows through the meter, it says you've used so many gallons of water. Now, I wouldn't mind at all that if the meter here measured twice as many numbers per gallon as it did at my house. Because at my house, see, I would have to pay for it personally, directly. Although, I guess indirectly, I'd pay for it here either too, and would be responsible. But can you see the need for a standardization of the rule? One of the things that happens when you buy a car is you look on the window and there's a little white sheet, or maybe it's colored somewhat, And it says all of the details about the car. And one of the things that most everybody looks for when they're looking on that sheet is how many miles to the gallon does this car use? Now, that should be straightforward. But when you look from this car and this brand to that car and that brand, or even within the same company, you look at different cars and they'll give you so many miles per gallon, and they seem to standardize it. I mean, they tell you they do. But for some reason, when I get out and drive the car, it says I get 26 miles to the gallon, and when I drive it, it's only 23. And if I get a different style of car, it might be a difference that is greater or lesser based upon that particular style of car. It has to do with the style of engine that's there. It has to do with the transmission. It has to do how it's configured in relationship to the engine. It has to do with how big the tires are and how heavy they are and all of those things. It has to do with how much gasoline it takes to run that car over a certain distance across the road. One of the things that they can't measure is lead foot hosh. They can't measure that. Because I may drive a car different than you drive a car, and I may gear it up or gear it down in a whole different manner in which you would, because I want to get there faster or I want to get there differently than somebody else. I have a style of driving that not everybody uses. When I go down a hill, I shift it down. Now, that will use more gas because the motor's running faster, at least I think it may. But I'm figuring, okay, which is cheaper? Which is easier? To gear it down and use more gas, or to let it go just freewheeling as it would and slam on the brake all the way down the hill like some people do going down into Catani? I mean, they ride that brake from the top of the hill all the way to the bottom. And the difference is that I live in Applewald, and I go down that hill a lot more than a lot of other people do. And I figure it's a lot easier to buy gas than it is to take the wheels off and change the brakes. Now, the standard of measure is different, isn't it? As to how you do it and what you do and why you do it. But when it comes to law, we're arguing in our country as to what is the standard. What is the standard for which a law can be made? And there's a big argument that's going on. Now, 10 or 15 years ago, there wasn't as big an argument, but there was one. And probably it's been going on nearly clear back to the beginning to some degree, because different presidents have had different opinions as to how the Constitution is interpreted and what's that. Oh, the Constitution, what is that? That's the standard of the rule. You see, when I'm measuring from here over there, the inches are exactly determined, or they can't sell you the tape measure. Now, the only place I know of that the standard of measure is sometimes different is in sewing. And the reason it's different is because very few people use a metal tape measure in sewing. They use a cloth tape measure. And the more you use a cloth tape measure, the probability is that it's going to stretch or whatever just a little bit, and you can get off some in that. Isn't that right? Sewing tape measures sometimes can be a variation. At least that's the way I've seen years and years ago when my mother had an old cloth one. It got pretty ragged and pretty worn, and it seemed to stretch a little bit if you wanted to. And so that's an area where you would have a difference in standard. But with our country, we have a standard, and the standard is the Constitution. And that the standard of the Constitution says that the federal government can do certain things, and the powers that are not given specifically to the federal government are reserved to the states. And that which is not given to the states is reserved to the people. That's what the Constitution says. Now, what's going on here is that they're making this mushy as to who and how different groups of people can use and have powers. And so The question that we should raise here is this, is the Constitution of the United States the ultimate standard? And you would go to a legislator, and they may say, oh, there's no question about it. In Pennsylvania, the state legislators and all officers and have to give a oath of office that says, I will uphold the Constitution of the state of Pennsylvania and the Constitution of the United States of America. And so you would say, okay, and one of your legislators is going to put a law up, a proposal up to the legislature to have a law. And one of the questions that rabble-rouser Hosh is doing is that he is starting to ask his legislators, when is it that you can propose and see passed a law that's still illegal even though both houses of the legislature pass it? When is it that it can be what you propose is illegal? And they don't think that way. And the things that are going on is that not only do they not think that way, but then you should be able to ask the governor, when is it that when you affix your signature to a bill that passes the legislature, the House and the Senate of Pennsylvania, when is it that you would sign your name to one of those bills and you would break the law? I don't think the governor thinks that way. I don't think the president thinks that way. But they can be breaking law. And so then the question comes down as to, when we're talking about a rule and a measure, how do we measure whether it's legal or illegal? Whether it's lawful or unlawful? And the question is, what are we measuring all of this to? And so when we're talking about measuring these things, we have to go back to Romans chapter, 13 there? And to the very beginning of the chapter, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Every soul be subject unto the higher powers. But wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. A lot of people read that phrase or that sentence, and there's a period, and they say, I've read enough. The next sentence is important too. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of the Constitution. Is that what it says? You see, they're ordained of God. So who is it that establishes the standard of measure? It's God Himself, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who establishes the standard of measurement. He tells us whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, and such as this, moral, immoral. He's the one who defines all of this. He determines it. Now, we have a responsibility as people who have still reasonable freedom of speech to go and to say, are you sure you're not breaking the law by signing this as a governor or signing this as a president? Or our congressman, are you sure that you're not breaking the law by voting for this particular bill? Now, just to ask that question should cause them to do some thinking. Now, you can pick any law and you can ask them that question. Are you sure you're not breaking the law by voting for a particular piece of legislation? And they should say, they will probably say, of course I'm not breaking the law. I'm a legislator. I have the right to vote yea or nay. I didn't ask that. I asked, are you sure you're not breaking the law by voting for this? And how do you know? You see, the how do you know is just as important. Because what you're saying is, if they can't say how they know, then they don't know how to apply the rule to that law. And so when Dick was measuring that for that pipe out there. One of the things I never asked him was, how do you know what you measured is right? Was the rule that you used a standardized rule based upon the government of the United States who sets their standards, I don't know if it's in Denver or Washington, D.C. or just exactly where that place is, that they do the weights and the measures and all of these, where they set that standard. Were you using one of those rules that were defined as the standard, or were you using a rule that you made your own and never compared it to the standard? If you don't compare it to the standard, you don't know. So have you done that which is right? Do you know? Do you know for sure you haven't broken the law by voting for this? Now, what I've done is I've taken all of this and I've made application to other people. Now, the real application is that if we don't apply this to ourselves as individuals, are we looking at the ultimate which God gives to us here in the Scriptures, that there is one who is, there's no power but of God, and He's the one who makes the standard. When I make a decision for my life, and it doesn't have to be a big decision, is this decision lawful or unlawful? Is it legal, illegal? Is it good, bad, right, wrong, moral, immoral? Is that standard pleasing to my God? So this is something that we have to consider when we're doing these things. Why am I buying this? Why am I doing this task? Why am I doing this or building this relationship? Is it legal? Is it illegal? Is it according to the rule of action that God approves, or is it according to the rule of action God disapproves? These are hard things that we're facing with all the time. And so when we come to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, what we're doing is we're saying, I've looked at this, I've wanted to be a spiritual person doing that which is holy, as Pastor indicates that a Christian is one who has applied to him holiness, or smear of the oil of holiness. See, Christ's word means Messiah. And Messiah has to do with that one who is anointed of God. This is a difference in language to different terms. It's the same concept. Has the smearing of the holiness of God been applied to me and to this action, this decision which I'm making? Am I making the decision because it seems right to me, or am I making the decision because I know it's right? Is the governor signing this bill because it is lawful and truly right, or is he signing this bill because he's assuming he has powers but doesn't know if it's right? And am I assuming I have powers and know it's right and really don't know? That's the issue that's involved with us here as we consider this idea of law and lawfulness. It applies not only to us as individuals, to the county, to government officials who are bureaucratic, or to those who are voted in, or whatever is involved there. They all have an accountability to the rule of law. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that we can have this time to look into this idea and think about it and compare our lives. And Father, these are hard things to carry out in practice, but so important. May we understand the law of Christ, that we are to love our brethren as ourselves, and we are to love You as the Lord God with all our hearts and body and soul and spirit. May it be that these two rules, which are given to us much different than any other people, will be the source and the pattern of our living, and that we will know how to make proper applications, because You are the one who is our God. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.